Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Reverend Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week with programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Under a Shady Tree with Lord Terry and Lord Onyx. Come on in. Grab a glass of sweet iced tea and sit right down. These southern pagan boys are about to start their talk. And now, here's Lord Terry and Lord Onyx.
Good evening, everybody.
Hey, go ahead.
Hey, good evening, everybody. You were listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're at Under a Shady Tree. You've got Terry and Onyx here. We want to thank you for joining us tonight. If you're live or in the archives, we really appreciate your support. Tonight's topic is respect. And Terry is on the road tonight, so we apologize for any background noise. But we're going to keep it to a minimum. And we're ready to rock and roll. Terry, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing actually better than average. I had a good day in fiber optics land, and got a kind of an emergency job that came up, and I have to drive tonight, and then I'll be working in New York tomorrow. So I'm coming to you live from I-78. In New Jersey, and about to be on I-287, headed up toward New York. So, proud to be here. How about you, Onyx? How are you doing?
It has been a fabulous day, busier than a one-legged man in a butt-kicking contest, as usual. But that's how I like it. I don't like it when I'm sitting around doing nothing, because when I'm sitting around doing nothing, I always find something to do anyway. So I'd rather be backed up and backlogged, not too much, though. But I'd rather have things to do than have nothing to do. Got the grass finished up this afternoon before the rainstorm rolled in, so I'm happy for that.
Well, there you go. All right, so we're going to talk about respect tonight. And there's so many different ways this could go. But I think I wanted to start off, because we talk a lot about spiritual unity and all manifestations of the divine being equal. And that means that we should be expressing respect for other people's expressions of faith, other people's ways, and that sort of thing. So I thought we would start off there and then work our way into other topics concerning respect.
That sounds like a good plan to me. my concept, my idea. First of all, I mean, we talk about, and this might be just a slight bit of a soapbox, but we talk about in the craft community how some other expressions of faith don't respect our way of looking at things and our way of doing things. But how can we expect them to respect us when we're not doing it for them? And that's not everybody. I know that's a broad brush, but there are segments of our community, unfortunately, that feel like respect needs to come to us, but not the other way around. And that is just absolutely not the way it should go. I firmly believe that given the case where we have the opportunity to take the high road and extend that courtesy and extend that respect to another expression of faith, even though we may disagree with what they say, we still understand that they have the right to believe the way they do, and we have, and they have the basic human right to be respected for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, so many people say, well, I'll show them respect when they show me respect. Well, that's probably getting off to a bad start right away.
Because, exactly.
You know, you don't demand respect. Nobody demands respect. You know, respect is given.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny to me sometimes how people think that they can demand respect, and I should be respected for what I believe, and I should be respected for this or that, and they don't have it within themselves to express it outward. How are they going to expect to draw it to them?
Well, exactly. That gets right back to one of the fundamental beliefs of our craft system is what you put out comes back. So, you know, a lot of times they'll use that and go, well, if you do something bad's going to happen to you. Well, it's the other way around, too. I mean, if you put something good out there, the good's going to come back, too. And that works with respect. If you put that respect out there, if you show courtesy, and you treat other people with respect and courtesy and deference, then most of the time, you're going to get that in return. And what I have found is even in situations where people are being completely discourteous and unrespectful or disrespectful to me, if I can not take that road, if I can take the high road and I can continue to show respect and continue to show courtesy, then one of two things usually happens. Either they're going to realize, hey, wait a minute, I'm looking like a total tool here, and they're going to change their way, or everybody around them is going to realize that they're acting that way, and eventually it'll sink through to them that they should treat you with respect, too. So we put out what we want to get back. If we put out this disrespect, if we put out this not being courteous of other people's beliefs and other people's thoughts and other people's emotions and feelings and things like that, that's exactly what we're going to get back.
Yeah, well, I tell this story all the time, and some of our listeners are probably already tired of hearing it, and I apologize on the front end. For those that have not heard this story, I had a temple member who was going to be performing their hand fasting. This is probably 3-4 years ago. And the individual's brother, the groom, he wanted his brother involved, but his brother is a very fundamentalist Christian. And they were doing pretty much a hand fasting. And they weren't leaving any wiggle room. So the brother was not amused and was refusing to participate. Well, as circumstances would have it, the groom had an acute medical condition, was in the emergency room, and I go to the hospital to visit. The staff takes me back to the family room, and I see the brother in the far corner, opposite the corner where the door was. And he and I meet eyes, and we kind of recognize each other. We know in a flash who's who. And apparently everybody in the room did also. It got very quiet. It was like a Western movie where the two gunfighters are on the street and everybody goes inside and closes the doors and puts on the shutters. Everybody in that room crammed into the other two corners and cleared a path down the middle. I mean, you could almost hear the, you know, whistling Western gunfight music in the background. And we start walking toward each other. And we meet in the center of the room. And I stick out my hand. He takes it, and I say to him, "Now, I understand you have a personal relationship with the divine in the person you know as Jesus the Christ." And he swells up and says, "Yes, I do." And I said, "And I'm happy for you." And I said, not another word. I held his hand in that handshake, and I waited. A couple of seconds pass, and I don't react. I don't give him a punchline. A couple of more seconds, and his shoulders slumped. And he realized that I was serious. And we went and sat in the corner where he had been sitting, and we talked about the nature of the divine, and we talked about his brother's faith and his faith. And when it came time for the hand fasting, he called a quarter.
Wow.
Not because I demanded respect, but because I gave it first.
Absolutely. I've heard that story so many times.
In that moment, you know, in that moment, because, I mean, and another thing, most people really don't want to be jackasses. They don't. So our best course of action is to give them two choices. They can either return the respect we give them, or they can be a jackass.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't want that. You show them respect, and you give them a chance for there to be dialogue, there usually will be. Now, some people are not going to respond to that, and that is not our responsibility. We have to make sure that our motives and our hearts are clear, and that we are doing what we're supposed to do. We are supposed to be representing the God and the Goddess, and the love of the Goddess is supposed to shine through us. And getting our knickers in a knot because somebody doesn't act the way we want them to, well, that's not love. You know, that's placing expectations on others and then trying to pull the string. We got to let people come to us, but we've got to reach out a hand of friendship and a hand of love and respect. And when we do that, people will listen to our message.
Mm-hmm.
We go in there and demand it, it ain't going to happen. They'll shut down before they hear a word.
You're absolutely right. I caught some flack about, I think it was about a year ago, I started talking about every pagan out here is an ambassador and should consider themselves one. Because as we come forward into and standing side by side with other expressions of faith, you out there, you may be the only pagan somebody ever meets, or you may be the first pagan people meet. And the way you act is going to set the stage for the way that person encountering you, being the first pagan they've ever encountered, you're going to set the stage for the way they view every other pagan they'll ever meet. They'll compare every other pagan they'll ever meet to you. And if you show that respect, if you show that courtesy, and you be that ambassador of love, ambassador of the gods, ambassador of love, ambassador of the message, I'm not talking proselytizing. I'm talking let the light shine from within and be courteous and be and have that honor and have that respect. People will come and people will want to know what it is that you have that they don't. And if
they
ask questions, certainly, yes, they're going to want it. And certainly, if they ask questions, answer their questions. But be an ambassador. Show that respect. Show that the message that we carry in our hearts is true. Show people that. And people will respond to it. I don't wear any pagan jewelry, generally. Every once in a while, I mean, the hand fasting ring that Willow and I have is obviously pagan. When I'm attending a function, I'll wear a pant, things like this, but I generally don't wear any flash. And one of the reasons I do that is because I want people to know who I am first. I want people to know that I try to be a good person. I want people to know that I always try to be respectful. I want people to know that I'm going to be courteous. And I want them to see what's in my heart shining out before they shut down going, oh, that's just one of them pagans. Because once they get past that and realize that, hey, he's a good guy, I want to be a good guy who happens to be pagan. I don't want to be a pagan who happens to be a good guy.
Exactly. Now, when I was growing up in the church, we had a song in Sunday school that said, they will know we are Christians by our love.
Mm-hmm.
I think we ought to take that and make it our own. They will know we are pagans by our love.
Mm-hmm.
Because we talk about loving and healing, and we talk about it, and we go into circle, and we share that amongst ourselves. But then we get out in the world, and we don't have a whole lot of that left over for anybody that disagrees with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're surprised when other faith communities do exactly the same thing.
Right.
Oops.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's one other thing that kind of got me on a tangent here. You know, we talk about, and it ties into respect. And it, you know, in our, especially in our tradition, Terry, we say that the divine will come to each of us in a way that is best for us. That's everybody. That's not just pagans. That's everybody. And if we truly believe that, then we need to respect others for the way that they interact with the divine. If we really believe that, then why would we not respect another person's faith? Because that's how the divine, by whatever name, has come to them. We need to respect that because that is a part of our faith. That is a part of our tradition. That is a part of our religion. That the divine will come to each person individually as it's best for them. And it ties right back around to the American concept of freedom of speech, you know, in a sense. You really can't say that you believe in freedom of speech unless you defend someone's right to say things that really get to you, that really make you upset. Same thing.
I thought
faith.
You were going to break into that monologue. I thought you were going to do it word for second.
No, I wasn't. But you know, if we do that, if we really believe that, if we really believe that divine comes from the divine comes to each person as is best for them, then we have to trust that they have the divine in their heart in the best way for them. And if we disrespect that, in essence, we are telling the world that we don't believe our own talk.
And yeah, and we're telling the divine that we don't believe
Absolutely. We know better than the divine on how to approach somebody, and that's just right up horse crap. Think about it.
Yeah, we have free will, but that's free will run amok.
Yeah, that's pretty presumptuous.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right up there. That's for certain. So you were talking about organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've beat this horse and it's time to move on.
It is.
You were talking about organizations, specifically ours,
mm-hmm.
where there's a hierarchical kind of structure. And most pagan traditions and most pagan expressions of faith have some form of hierarchy. I mean, we talk about not wanting organized religion, but I think we talk mostly about not wanting the bad parts of organized religion, but we do want a certain organizational structure that provides support and community. And even the degree systems that exist within most pagan expressions create a certain hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings me around to the second point of respect that I wanted to talk about tonight, and that is respecting the accomplishments of people within our own community.
Oh, yes.
Here's my soapbox for the night.
Get you some, Terry.
Because we tend in the pagan community as a whole, and again, just like Lord Onyx was saying, painting with a broad brush. But I see a great whack-a-mole game going on. I see it in the larger community as well, but within the pagan community, it is rife. We want leaders, but then we want to tear them down. We want enforced mediocrity. If anybody sticks their head up above the crowd, there's somebody there to tear them down like a whack-a-mole. Bonk them on the head, knock them back down in the hole. Because you can't be better than the rest of us. And nobody said they were better, but when someone has accomplishments, we should respect that. We should be respecting the people that are out there carrying the flag, carrying our banners, and we should be respecting the people that are putting themselves on the line, living openly, not hiding behind craft names or hiding in the broom closet, that are out there trying to make a difference for all of us. And there's always somebody there to tear them down. There's someone there that just doesn't respect what they went through to get where they are. Achieving the high priesthood in any tradition is years of work, years of study, years and years of hard effort goes into that. Now, there are some people out there that we may not like that are high priests or high priestesses. Okay, I don't like everybody I work with at work, but I respect them, and I treat them with a certain amount of respect. When I was in the Air Force, there were all kinds of fresh out of OCS butter bars that I just wanted to bitch slap. Coming in with their little butter bar all shiny and pretty and thinking, tell me how to do my job. Now, fortunately, most of them were warned off from screwing with anybody E6 and higher. But, you know, we still had to deal with them. And you got to show respect for the uniform. You got to show respect for the people that have a higher rank.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean they're better, but it means you show respect to the accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
Because even if this guy, you know, bachelored in underwater basket weaving or something, he still had a bachelor's degree and had gone to OCS and was an officer in the United States Air Force. I had to show respect. I was obligated to. It wasn't just a military requirement. It was a personal obligation that I felt to respect the uniform and respect the accomplishments of that butter bar, even if he did make me want to hit him. So we've got to recognize that personality is not accomplishment, and accomplishment is not personality. And we need to quit tearing people down. We need to quit setting them up on pedestals, too, because that sets them up for a fall. So, anyway, there is one of my favorite pretty soapboxes. That's actually my purple soapbox. So,
couple of gold trim.
Yeah,
a couple of thoughts on that. You know, when you were talking about the whack-a-mole game and everything, it just flashed back the vision. And I believe it was Isaac Bonowitz that originally created the T-shirt that had Pagan Leader on the front and a bullseye on the back. I always thought that was kind of accurate, because if you get out in front, you might as well have a bullseye on your back. The second thing I'd like to comment on is, you know, like within our tradition, yes, there is a hierarchy, and I understand that some traditions have a little bit of contention with the way we do things because there is a hierarchy. The way I look at it is, if you disrespect somebody, an office within the tradition, then you have disrespected the entire tradition. Because even though, like you're saying, Terry, you may not like the person, but, you know, the old expression in the military is, you know, salute the office, not the person. You know, if you disrespect that office or you disrespect the person in an office within the tradition, then you're disrespecting not only that person personally, you're disrespecting
the
office.
System.
And absolutely the entire system. You're disrespecting everybody in that system that has helped put that person in the position they are, or approve them for that position. Because we're telling everybody out there in the hierarchy that have placed their trust in that person to hold that office that they don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
So you're not only disrespecting the individual, you're disrespecting, like you say, Terry, the entire system.
Right. I mean, and you know, the Corellians are not the only ones that have a hierarchical system by any stretch. I mean, now the British traditionalists, even independent types of covens, when someone reaches third degree and they decide to hive off, whoever was the high priestess or high priest of the group they hive off of still gets a certain respect.
Mm-hmm.
And while it might not be an enforced hierarchy, that does become kind of a level of achievement and respect above the high priest or high priestess level.
Having worked intimately with a couple of the BTW, the British traditional witchcraft traditions, informally that respect, that deference goes two generations. And what I mean by generations, I'm not talking about father-son type thing. I'm talking about coven to hive-off coven to their hive-off coven. The high priesthood of say Coven A, the high golf of Coven, or the other way around, the high priesthood of Coven C, the high golf of Coven B, the high golf of Coven A. That informal respect goes, and deference goes up two levels. So, to the grandmother Coven high priesthood. So, yes, there is a hierarchy there, but it's informal because each coven operates autonomously. Now, within the coven itself, generally speaking, there's a very definite hierarchy. Some of the newer lineages, some of the newer times off the central lineage, are working more the way some of the more modern traditions are doing and having that democratic leadership thing going on. But the closer you get back to the central lines of the BTWs, the more hierarchy you get within the coven. Just a point of experience.
Yeah, so I mean, but hierarchy is not necessarily inherently a bad thing.
No, it is not.
It gives a structure. Human beings like to know where they fit.
Mm-hmm.
Anarchy is the most unsettling, total freedom is unsettling beyond words. Everybody likes to know where they fit into an organization.
Mm-hmm.
You look at work structures. If you don't have people in the work structure know where they fit in the organization, they're not as productive as if they understand their place in the overall structure, in the mechanism that is that structure, is that organization.
Oh, absolutely.
And people need to know where they fit. So hierarchy in and of itself is a good thing. Now, also, it's important to say here that respect also has to go downward. I've been talking about respecting upward, but the respect has to go down as well.
Mm-hmm.
Leaders need to respect the people that they lead, or those people are going to find another leader.
You're right. Don't vote with their feet.
That kind of system only works when respect flows in both directions. When obligation flows in both directions. As leaders, a leader is obligated to be respectful of the people that they serve, because they are ultimately servants.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree with you completely. There's so many things here. I completely agree with you, Terry. Respect needs to go both ways. It's a two-way street. And I was going to touch on what you said just a minute ago, that people are more productive when they know where they fit within an organization. Without getting too tangential here, there's a psychological reason for that, because if people don't know what their realm of operation is, what their sphere of influence is, they're very cautious about stepping into somebody else's smoke. So they tend not to reach out as far. If they know where their boundaries are, as far as their responsibilities are, then they will go to that, and sometimes a little bit over it. But if they don't know, then they're going to pull back a little bit, so they're not as productive.
Absolutely. All right, I do not have any kind of time-telling device within my eyeball.
It's time. It's time.
Okay.
It's time. We're going to take a short musical break here, and we're going to do some Dar of the Bard, and I'm going to play Lunasaw. Ladies and gentlemen, Dar of the Bard, Lunasaw. Talking about respect. We've got some comments in the chat room that I'd like to address, and since Lord Terry's not at his computer, I will read them so that we can respond to them. We have one that says, I have a question for either one of you or both. If you come into a situation where the first priest is making a mockery of himself and his tradition, how would you bring this to the attention of the proper people, and who would those people be? I'm assuming that's what he means too. Well, to use Lord Terry's phrasing, he's acting like a jackass. He has been rude not only to myself, but some of my former students in Arizona. I was asked how to deal with it. I didn't know.
I'm presuming he's talking about a high priest.
That's what I would assume too, but he hasn't. Okay, next statement. By rude, I mean he was asked questions like, what tradition are you from and how long have you been practicing, basic questions, and his answer was very egotistical and rude. He says, yes, talk about the high priest.
Okay. Well, I mean, if the individual is not, if you're not associated with him, what's the association, I guess, is what I'm trying to figure out. I mean, if it's somebody just comes into the community and claims to be such and such, I mean, you can not invite them to come play.
You know?
I mean, you're not.
You're not obligated to invite anyone.
Right, I thought we were talking about like the high priest of an existing coven or something like that. And in a situation like that, you would try to find out who's next up the food chain.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a hive off, I mean, if they're arrogant and giving you so much grief, then they're going to be all kinds of proud to talk about their lineage. So
right.
You give them an opportunity to talk about their lineage. And then you find out who's higher up the food chain than they are.
Mm-hmm.
And you address it with the next person up the food chain. If they're operating on their own, you disassociate with them. I mean, some people are just going to be jackasses, and you can't help that.
Right.
And some people are going to be rude. The best option always is to show them proper respect and move on. And leave them to the consequences of their actions. When they stand there all alone being rude, they got nobody to be rude to but the mirror at some point.
Yeah.
So,
eventually people will vote with their feet.
That's it. So those are kind of my thoughts on it, not knowing any more detail than I have.
Okay. He's trying to say that this guy was the equivalent of Lord Don's position. That's why he said first priest. What tradition are you talking about? I'm not aware of another tradition as widespread and as large and international that has a hierarchy the way the Corellian tradition does. But please educate me.
And, I mean, if he's the equivalent of Lord Don, then there's nobody above him anyway.
You just have to
move on and show the person the position proper respect and give the and move on. I mean, don't have to interact with the person.
Oh, I agree with you. The questions I have are more out of curiosity, because in all my years I haven't encountered a tradition as widespread with the hierarchy that the Corellian tradition has. So if he's the equivalent of Lord Don's position, to me that speaks that he's the first priest of an international tradition that's represented on every continent except for Antarctica.
We'll see what additional information. Were there any other questions or comments in the chat room?
Let me scroll back and see. Yeah, I agree that if this guy is the first priest of a tradition, then there is no one to go above him. Just let him go. Just show him respect. Show the respect for him being a first priest, and people will vote with their feet. They will see him for what he is eventually, and just like you said earlier, he'll pretty soon he'll be first priest of three people. Him and himself. He'll be doing all the work himself, and he'll be teaching himself, and doing great right by himself.
Let's see.
Go ahead.
No, so did you find another question when you scrolled
that,
back?
That's what I'm looking.
Okay. Because, I was pretty much done with this conversation just Now, people like that are going to ultimately isolate themselves. And, showing them love, maybe actually actively sending them love, might help to raise them up out of their fear.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times when people act like that, it's fear-based. They're insecure. They're seeking approval in less than ideal ways, but it all comes back to an insecurity and fear. And if they can be raised out of their fear by simply channeling love in their direction,
mm-hmm.
the same way that we use our heart chakras to share energy in the circle in our online ritual, when we cast and prepare the circle space across the cyberspace when we do an on-air ritual, we can do that same thing with an individual. And we can just send them love.
Right.
And just open our connection to the divine, fill ourselves with love, and share that and express that to the person, and maybe they can be helped to rise out of their fear. And if they find themselves, we may find that they're more accomplished than we gave them credit for, or that they demonstrated.
Mm-hmm. But let me ask you this one. Just as a toss-up question, going out, in the end game here, do you see a difference between being courteous and being respectful?
Yeah, I do. Courtesy is, I think, a more superficial. Now, courtesy is a good thing, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been times when I was forced to be courteous to someone that I had no need to respect necessarily, and I couldn't bring myself to give them the respect that we were trying to demand.
Right.
But I could still be courteous.
Mm-hmm.
I could still go through the motions. And, that, I mean, a couple of those officers, let's be honest. I mean, I might have been respecting the bars on their shoulder, but I was being courteous to the bag that was wearing it.
Right.
So, is there a difference? Yeah, courtesy is an action. Respect is an emotion. Respect is internal.
I would have to agree. I mean, because if you think about it, you know, courtesy is all about manners. Absolutely. Respect is something that you feel and it shows through. Now, it may show through courtesy, but respect is from within. Respect is from within. Courtesy is the actions on the outside, the holding the door for people, the tipping your hat or any of those things that we down here in the South consider good manners is courtesy. Sometimes, a lot of times, I would hope that most of the time, courtesy comes from respect, but not always, because the way I feel about it is you can, except for in situations where you're respecting an office. But if you're respecting another human being, you really have to have some connection with that person to have a deep respect or an individual respect. You can have respect for them because they're another human being, but to respect that individual, you have to know that individual. But you can always be courteous.
Right. I mean, respect the spark of the divine that resides within each of us.
Mm-hmm.
Something akin to namaste. But courtesy, may grow out of, or may be an outward expression of respect.
Right.
Or it may just be, like you said, demonstrating that they got some raising.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't just grow up, they were raised.
Right. Big difference. Big
yeah.
difference.
So,
big difference. Now we're coming down.
You like that?
Absolutely, I like that. We're coming down to the end of the hour. So if you're up for it, I'll let you go first, and then I'll close out the show since you're on the road. If you want to do that.
Well, all righty. Respect is, just final thoughts. I mean, respect is it can be a tricky topic. I'm not going to pretend. We can respect others for that, just that personal connection, that respecting the divine within another person. We can respect someone that's a coworker, as a member of the team. Respect those that we lead, or respect those that lead us. Respect is, in a lot of ways, an expression of divine love. It is a demonstration through our emotional self of the love of the divine and the concern we have for another. And, yes, there may be a certain deference that comes with respect, particularly when you're respecting a leader who's going to make decisions, or someone who has great accomplishment, that you want to respect that person and show them a certain a certain level of treatment in recognition of their accomplishment. I guess to a certain degree, the title Lord and Lady, those titles being used as a means of showing people respect, of respecting the accomplishments of a high priest or high priestess that has gone through whatever process is necessary within their tradition to achieve that rank. And I think I just missed my exit.
Oh, wonderful. So,
excellent.
Terry, if you want to, whichever way you want to play this, if you want to go ahead and give contact information for you, and then I'll go ahead and give my final thoughts and tie up, or you want me to go ahead with final thoughts and then us both tie up and give contact information, which way do you want to do that? I don't care. I know you're on the road, so it's going to kind of play on, what you need.
Wow, does that say that I got to go 15 miles out of my way to turn around? Excellent. No, I might as well hang out now.
Okay. Well, my final thoughts on this is I believe that respect should be given to everyone, every single individual. We are all a member of the Belly Button Club, and we are all deserving of respect on one level. On another level, if you're in a organization that has a hierarchy, then absolutely you should respect the offices, even if you don't quite get along well with the people holding those offices. To reiterate, something you and I both have said, Terry, is, in the military, you can salute the rank, not the person. Same thing applies in an organization with a hierarchical structure. But even those people who are filling those positions of authority, we have to remember their people. You made mention earlier, and I don't think it got drilled down hard enough, is that, we need to not put them on a pedestal either, because that's setting them up for failure. Because if you paint them as a perfect person, and then you're in for a big surprise and a big letdown when you find out that they're human too, and that could lead to issues. So yes, these people in positions in the hierarchy, these people in those positions have been around longer, have been on that path longer, but that doesn't make them a better person. It just makes them a little bit more experienced. And them in that position, first of all, respect them as a member of the Belly Button Club, but respect the office. So there's two things going on there. One is the common human respect for everyone. And then there's the respect for any office in your structure, or anybody else's structure for that matter. And also, we were talking about in the hierarchy that it's almost considered mandatory for the respect to be shown going up. Well, the respect should be shown going down as well. And I believe good leaders, effective leaders will do that. They will respect those people that they are serving, and they will treat them with courtesy, and they will do their best to be a good leader for them. So those are my closing thoughts, Terry.
All right, coolness. I agree with everything you just said.
Well, we're going to stop agreeing so much. People's going to stop tuning in.
I know. One of these times we're going to find a topic we can argue about.
Yeah, well, what we need to do is offline, you and I find something we can argue about, and we'll put that on the topic list.
All right.
In this part,
of course, yeah. anybody that's got topic ideas that they want us to, I want to see if they can find a point of disagreement, you can email those to us at cern.org@gmail.com. That's cern.org@gmail.com.
Absolutely.
And put the shady tree topic in the good grief. Flashing lights, and everybody's got to slow down to 40 miles an hour on the interstate.
Yep.
Slam on your brakes. Good God. Anyway.
Now, the website for our network is www.spiritualunityradionetwork.org. Lord Terry's done an excellent job putting that together. You can go there, see the bios for some of the hosts. You can catch some the archived shows there, and quite a bit more information about the network. William, who is also one of our hosts, has put it in the chat. Thank you, William. Terry, how do people get in touch with you?
Okay, getting in touch with me. The easiest way to find me, that's becoming easier to find me there, is, I guess right now still the easiest way to find me is Facebook. And the easiest one of those is Rev Terry Power HP, the public figure page. You just go there and click like, and you can follow all the doings. You can also find my regular friends page is Terry Power, and that shows me in North Copley, Pennsylvania. Or follow me on Twitter at RevTerryPowerHP, and the website that is still in the in its infancy, but it is getting some content as we go along, and will ultimately have all my contact information, is www.RevTerryPowerHP.com. There you go.
And I am Onyx, and I am the chief priest at Lady of the Circle in the Oaks, which is a proto-temple, a Corellian proto-temple here in Thomasville, North Carolina. If you want to get in touch with me, the easiest thing to do is go to our website, and that's ladyofthecircle.org, ladyofthecircle.org. From there, you can find everything from my email address to our phone number to the proto-temple to links to all the different project that I'm involved in. I've got a YouTube channel with CNN iReport, WordPress, quite a lot of things. You can catch all of that from there, one central location. And with that, Terry, unless you've got something else, I'm going to bow us out of here.
I think we're done.
All right.
Thanks, everybody, for being with us. We love you guys. We're here for you.
Thanks, everybody, so much for being here. In all things, may you blessed be.
Blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally balanced.